Today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take your calls. But thank you for listening to We Hold These Truths on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM.
We Hold These Truths, hosted by Karen Testament, founder of First Principles New Hampshire, an organization that promotes those truths that are self-evident, which the state and the nation were founded upon. The show takes a look at the latest news and developments throughout the state of New Hampshire from a conservative women's viewpoint. Whether it's family, economic, or current news, We Hold These Truths. We'll cover it all. Join the show, give us a piece of your mind, and voice your input by calling 816-0019. It's We Hold These Truths with Karen Testament.
Good morning, Nashua and Hudson and Londonderry, Litchfield, wherever you're listening to us today. Maybe you're listening to us on the web as well. This is your guest fill-in host, Kevin Smith, filling in for Karen Testerman this morning. Karen is, well, I believe she's out of state this week, and so she asked if I would fill in for her. I said I'd be happy to do so. So much to discuss and the hour we have here this morning. Feel free, folks, to get into the mix, too. I know you don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but it'll certainly be entertaining and lively. I can promise you that. 816-0019 is the number again, 816-0019. And I'm very pleased to be joined in the studio this morning by the always vivacious, always what other adjectives can I use to describe her? Energetic and charming, wonderful, the
young,
lovely,
young,
yes, the lovely Jennifer Horn. Jennifer, this is actually kind of a reversal of roles. Usually I've joined you in the studio to be a co-host and guest on with you, and this morning I asked you to come in to be a host with me here in the Gate City of Nashua.
You mean the beautiful Gate City of Nashua, New Hampshire. Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here with you and George, who hides behind the board over there. People don't even know he's in the room. But without him, there is no radio.
There is
in Nashua.
No radio. George makes things run
That's
around
right.
here. George,
That's
what's
right.
the temperature out right now? Do we have a
31
degrees here in the Gate City?
The beautiful but chilly Gate City of Nashua, New Hampshire. It's great to be here. It's been a while since I've been on the radio.
Well, I'm glad you're here in studio. With us. So much to discuss. We also have a few guests that are be coming on with us today. Joining us right after the first break will be Grant Bossy from New Hampshire Watchdog, an independent research and policy analytics group, whatever you want to call it.
They are really, really good at following what's happening in Concord, you know, and very, very much into the detail of policy.
So he'll be on to talk to us about the budget that Maggie Hassan has presented and how it's making its way through the House right now. And, of course, HB 2, the other half of the budget, was just finally released yesterday. And so there's a lot to dig into there. So we'll be doing that with Grant Bossy just after 10:20. And then after the second break, we have the new state director for Americans for Prosperity in New Hampshire, Greg Moore, who will be in to talk with us about the gas tax. And, of course, the gas tax passing yesterday in New Hampshire House by about 35-40 votes. It looked like mostly along party lines. The Democrats largely supporting it, Republicans largely against it.
And it was really interesting because it was almost exactly the same, very close to the same numbers of Republicans and Democrats who voted against their parties as well.
So, right.
You know, they were able to win over a couple of our guys. We were able to win over a couple of their guys.
Right. And what people have to, you know, having served in the House now almost 15 years ago and just watching how the House has voted over the years, it's not atypical, and it's always been this way in the New Hampshire House, it's not atypical for members of both parties on any given vote, doesn't matter if it's controversial, non-controversial, whatever, to go over and vote with the majority of the other party. It just happens. It's the way our House operates. But if you look again at largely the vote totals, you had the majority of Democrats voting to increase the gas tax by 15 cents.
Vast majority of Republicans voting against it.
Voting against it, right. So,
and this is one of those those issues. We've been really vocal on this coming out of the state party office, because this is one of those issues that I think really clearly defines the difference between the way that Republicans think about governance and the way that Democrats think about governance. If you recall, several of our local media sources reported on this memo, this email that the sponsor of the bill, who's one of the state reps from here in Nashua, Representative Campbell, had sent out describing the gas tax in his own words as the gift that keeps on giving. Ha ha, don't spend it all in one place.
Right.
This is a really oppressive tax. And the problem with it is not just that every single human being who buys gas in the state of New Hampshire is going to be affected by it, but those who will be hurt most by it are middle and lower income families. And when we are in a difficult economy to begin with, the price of gas continues to rise. And I don't know about everybody in your audience, but I remember paying $1.86 for gas not too long ago. And that's not the case.
97 cents, Jennifer, when I got my license. I always talk about when I got my license here in the state of New Hampshire, it was 97 cents for a gallon of gas. And I remember when it went to $1.20 and I was freaking out. I can't believe I'm paying $1.20 for gas. I would love to go back to $1.20.
I'm going
to
age myself and tell you I remember paying 75 cents a gallon.
Whoa.
So that was a whole nother.
Don't tell too many people.
That's right.
They can do
I remember paying 75 cents a gallon. But we have families right here in downtown Nashua who, you know, get to the end of the week and are choosing between gallons of milk and gallons of gas. And it's unconscionable.
And by the way, choosing family trips paying for gas as well.
So,
you know who this hurts? This hurts the North Country. In New Hampshire,
right.
This hurts.
Because people are not taking that drive anymore.
Exactly.
You're exactly right. So it's disappointing to me that we had some Republicans on that side. I understand how the process works. But I think that what's really disappointing is that the Democrats look at this as, you know, they feel like they've come up with the perfect plan to just suck as much money as possible. We'll ease them into it just a couple cents a year for 4 years, you know, little by little. And look at what we've got.
Right.
It's really bad policy. It's bad governance. It's bad for families. It's bad for businesses. And I hope that Republicans in the Senate will be able to stop it.
Well,
but more importantly, and more disappointing, our governor has not said where she stands on this. She's made it. She came out early on to put an end to the beer tax to protect all the beer drinkers in our state. I will veto the beer tax. You know, I'm taking a stand, and we appreciate that. And I think our beer distributors across the state probably appreciate it as well. But where does she stand on the gas tax? Is she going to do the right thing? I would like her to come out today and give us a public promise that she's going to protect the families and businesses across our state and veto the gas tax.
Well, and guess what? All of those trucks delivering the beer, distributing the beer, they're going to be affected by this gas tax. So as important as
everything
it is to veto the beer
distributed.
Tax. Yeah,
everything that travels by road will go up in price
as
a result of the gas tax.
We're going to be talking more about the gas tax in just a little bit with Greg Moore. Jennifer, I want to talk to you because we've got some guests coming on. So, you know, you took over the GOP back in January, the end of January. You've been very active as chairman since that time. But inform our viewers, I mean, what is your vision for the Republican Party? What have you been doing since you've been elected chairman? And where's the Republican Party going in the future?
We're going forward, Kevin. We're moving forward. My vision is a strong, vibrant, winning Republican Party. I haven't exactly taken over the Republican Party. I've been given the great privilege and opportunity to serve as chairman of the party. And we have had a lot going on. There's great energy out there, a lot of excitement. We're very engaged at the kind of the behind the scenes rebuilding that has to take place with the party, as far as our personnel structure, the updating technology, you know, all the sort of nuts and bolts of running a political operation and getting us where we need to be. But we've also really refocused on messaging. I think it's very important that the party have a loud voice, that regardless of which party is in the majority or the minority, I think that it is a disservice to the people when they don't hear both an honest debate from both sides. So we've been very engaged in talking about why we think that a budget from Governor Hassan that's built on $80 million of fabricated funds based on an industry that is currently illegal in the state of New Hampshire, why we think that's a bad idea and why that's bad governance. And we've tried to be really loud about it. We've been very involved in the conversation about the attempt right now by the Democratic majority to repeal the Education Scholarship Tax Fund. This is an opportunity law. This is a law that created greater opportunity, educational opportunity for middle and low income families so that those parents would have more choices to be able to get their children into the school or the educational environment that they think is best for their child. We've had extraordinary interest. I think the numbers are over 250 families have signed up to apply for these scholarships. Over $150,000 has been raised for it. And we haven't even had the opportunity to implement it, and they now want to repeal it. And this is a program that does not take a single tax dollar. This is privately funded. It's tax credits.
If anything, it saves the state money.
Exactly. If you ended up having a lot of students, I look at the state, we had a lot of students who were able to take advantage of this, who wanted to and were able to take advantage of this. That really starts to create a situation in our public school classrooms where those students are getting more attention, where they're getting more of their teacher's right. time, where they're getting more resources, more financial resources directed to them. So it's a great, it's about opportunity.
If I could just interject for one second.
Well,
you need to,
otherwise I'll go on and on forever.
No, but it's not just the opportunity for parents to be able to send their children to private school, you know, whatever kind of private school that is. They can also use the scholarship money to choose another public school in the area.
Exactly.
If they want to, a public school that maybe is performing better than another
Performing better, that has a specific program that they think will better serve their child. It's not just about moving kids into private schools.
The Democrats and Governor Hassan clearly are trying to demagogue this issue. They're calling it a voucher, to which I have said they're either purposely misleading
right.
the public, or they have no idea what a voucher system is. Because
right.
this is the furthest thing from a voucher system. It's
right.
not like money going to the government and the government giving it back in the form of a voucher. That's not what's
happening.
That's
not what
here.
It is. It's private entities making a contribution to create a scholarship fund that will create greater opportunity for, and as you said, it's not about moving kids into private school. It's about parents having the chance to move their kids to whatever educational environment is best for them. But I think that one of the reasons I get so riled up about it is I think it's an issue that really clearly defines the difference between what I think is the Republican mentality, and that is to grow opportunity, and the Democrat mentality, which is to grow government, spend more money. Let's have all of our money, as much of our money as possible, go into the government and then be, you know, distributed out to the schools and the here and the there, and have them be in control of how it's spent. I think as Republicans, we'd rather people keep their money in their pockets and let them control how they spend it.
And that really is the crux of the difference between today's Republican Party
yes.
versus the Democratic Party. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming in here and talking about the Republican Party. We got to go to a quick break. When we come back, on the flip side, we're going to have Grant Bossy from New Hampshire Watchdog to be talking about the Hassan budget. Jennifer, you can stick around in a little bit. We'll have some time at the end to speak with you as well.
Ladies, oh my gosh, what a thrill. I'm going to stay. We're stick around to get a little bit more time with Kevin
Smith.
You can
doing nothing better than
yes,
to do this morning.
Yes, I'm with you 100%,
folks,
Kevin.
Folks, you're listening to WSMN 1590. I'm Kevin Smith. We'll be back with you in just a few minutes.